Hey everybody, this is Tom Hush for No Coast Cinema here on WGN Plus. We are your guide to cinema here in the city of Chicago, and we've got a special little interview for you today, doing something a little bit extra because there's a movie we just have to talk about. This is coming to us from the folks at the Asian Pop-Up Cinema. You know them, we've had multiple interviews and filmmakers, and we've talked about it a lot. It's one of our favorite things here in the city of Chicago. And also, May is Asian American Heritage Month, so we're going to be talking a lot about Asian cinema on the show going forward for the next couple weeks of May. So why not kick it off with a spectacular film? It's called Still Human, and it is about a paralyzed and hopeless Hong Kong man as he meets his new Filipino domestic worker who has to put her dream on hold and come to the city of Hong Kong to earn a living. And together they live under the same roof. They learn a lot about each other. They grow. And it really is a fabulous film. And, you know, I have a lot of history myself with living in Asia and living in a house with a domestic worker and that, a little bit of that culture. So obviously we'll get into that. It's already winning tons of awards, and they're doing a kind of international tour of this movie, and I really suggest that you try to see it if you can. It's actually going to be playing tonight at the Gene Siskel Film Center, so if you want to head on over to their website, grab some tickets. It's a spectacular theater. You know, Connor and I, my co-host, have presented films there many a time, and it's always a great place to go see new emerging filmmakers. And we have one of those filmmakers right now. So please welcome to the show, director Oliver Chan, director of Still Human.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, thank you so much, Oliver, for taking the time. I know you guys are really, really busy. You were on WGN TV just this morning, correct?
Yes.
My goodness.
Great.
And, you know, as I said, Still Human, it's a spectacular film. I really had a great time watching it, and it was, you know, I went into it blind. I didn't do too much background research on it. I just wanted to watch the film and enjoy it moment by moment, and really, I wasn't disappointed. I was honestly very surprised to hear that this is your debut feature, Oliver.
Yes. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Well, tell me a little bit about yourself, Oliver. I mean, how did you decide that you wanted to become a filmmaker?
Actually, when I was really young, my family wasn't really rich, so all I have is to watch films on TV, like old films. And then back then, I thought I really have that passion for films. But then I never got the courage to really do it. So actually, I went to business school and I did banking for 3 years before I really figured out I just couldn't do banking for the rest of my life. I really love films. So that's how I just changed my career completely. And here I am.
Well, it is a very courageous thing to become a filmmaker. I mean, it's a lot of hard work. It takes a lot of self-determination to take a story and put it out there for people to watch. It's funny that you came in through banking. It probably came in handy when it came to the budget.
Yes, I think the skill helped me a lot. I'm glad, like, you know how you look back and all those dots just connected? So it's never a waste to go through the whole banking and business background. It's worth the time.
Absolutely. Tell me a little bit about some of the films that you watched as a child that inspired you to become a filmmaker.
Well, actually, there's in a small indie film from the States that I really loved. It's called The Cure. It's about AIDS. It's probably in 1990-something, the 90s, and it's about two little boys, and one of them have AIDS, and the two of them just go on to find a cure for AIDS. And that is actually, it's not a really famous film, but I just got like this impression that I must do something like this. I was really impressed and I was really touched.
Well, I'm glad. I mean, and you came into it through independent cinema. I know many people discover film through Hollywood. Certainly, that's how I became a film fan, was watching Hollywood films. But you saw the independent film as your route to becoming a director.
Yes.
So, Oliver, when you decided to tell the story of Still Human, which is, as I said, about a paralyzed man from Hong Kong and his Filipina domestic worker. Yeah. What inspired you to tell that specific story? Was it things that you saw in day-to-day life or stories that you heard from others?
Yes, actually, I saw two people that are exactly like Charming and Evelyn just in my neighborhood. So I was really like kind of curious about their relationship when I first saw them, because the guy, he modified his wheelchair and he added this little piece of footstep for the lady to step on it, so she didn't have to walk. So I was like, how close were they to have this kind of, you know, this kind of things done for it? I assumed that girl to be a domestic worker, right? So I thought, what are your relationship like to have that done for a helper that you hired to take care of you? And then I thought, maybe I was assuming too much. Maybe I assumed that girl to be a domestic helper just because of her skin tone. So I thought it's like really wrong of myself to do that. So, and then I got a lot of self-reflection. I thought, oh, I must do a film about this.
Absolutely. And the culture of domestic workers in Asia is something that can at times feel a little bit alien to American audiences. We think of domestic workers as being somewhat of a bigger luxury, kind of very much saved for the ruling class or the richest class. Yeah. But in Asia, they're a lot more commonplace, whether or not you are someone as in the same situation as one of the main characters here, who needs help because he is paralyzed. But some people just simply have domestic workers as part of a cultural thing, just to help with cooking, childcare, all that kind of stuff. We talked a little bit about it before, but I myself spent 2 years in Singapore when I was a child, and one of the strangest things to me was we were expected to have a domestic worker, and a lot of that was based in skin tone, in race. I'm part of a white family from America, an expat, and when we first came to Singapore, my mom was surprised that many people told her that it was expected that she would have a domestic worker to help with the childcare. Yeah. With the cooking, and obviously it was a little bit strange to her. She's a stay-at-home mom in America. She did that all herself, and initially she was very hesitant to it, but at the end of the day, we had a domestic worker come live with us from the Philippines. Her name was Joyce, and she was a member of the family. She lived with us, and you know, she helped take care of me and my siblings, and I found it so great to have you show this kind of relationship on screen, because it's something that American audiences don't typically understand. When you were making Still Human, what did you want the portrayal of domestic workers to look like on screen? How did you encapsulate so much of that experience?
I think I just want to keep it real. I did a lot of research and I figured out like every one of them are very different, but at the same time they're just very similar to other Hong Kong people. We are all just doing something for a living, and just the policy is just that they are kind of being paid very little, sadly, and they have to do all the housework on our behalf, because the living standard in Hong Kong is very, very high. And if we don't have the whole household going out for work, we basically couldn't survive. But luckily we get this, we set to call them cheap labor to do these things for us. But we never thank them enough. You know, for a lot of Hong Kong films, we just kind of ignore these people. It's just like they don't even exist. Like a lot of Hong Kong commercial films, you don't see any domestic workers in that. So I thought we just need to portray them really fairly and show people a new angle to look at them, that is like they're all so human, that we're all equal. They have their own pursuit of dream, happiness, relationships, and a lot of things that we also want. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so that's probably just how I felt.
Well, and obviously you portray that spectacularly in this, and it's a main theme of the film, as one might be able to glean from the title Still Human. There's a lot of themes of human dignity in this, whether it has to do with the character of the domestic worker, Evelyn, or the man she's taking care of who is paralyzed. There's a lot of, you know, talk and emotion behind them trying to regain a certain level of dignity in themselves and remind themselves that they are, you know, they are people, they have their own personalities, they have their own dreams, they have their own desires, and the want for human connection is very strong. One of the scenes that I found, actually, there are a couple scenes that I really liked involving Evelyn, where one of them was her spending a day with fellow Filipino domestic workers and talking about how to get through, you know, this job, because there's a lot of things they have to do. And I thought it was very funny and very poignant in a way that one of the things that they like to do is play dumb in order to almost play into the stereotype of these Filipino workers. Oh yes, they're domestic workers. They don't know anything. They, you know, they're useless, and they just use that to their advantage in order to have almost a respite from the hard work that they already have to do. They're cooking, they're cleaning, and in the case of Evelyn, she is physically taking care of someone who cannot take care of himself. And yes, I thought that was a spectacular scene. And another one was when she goes to the supermarket and she tries to buy some lettuce, and she gets taken advantage of, essentially. And that points to the way that domestic workers are treated in Hong Kong, and I'm sure in other places as well. You know, I want to know, did you talk to domestic workers to get those kind of stories? Did you see that happening around?
Yeah, I think both are valid. Like, we did a lot of research talking to real domestic workers, no matter they are just taking care of normal family or those who are taking care of paralyzed people. We did research and talked with them, and it's interesting how they told us about their little tricks to get through their daily task. And it's real that, like, I heard so many other employers saying that they think the workers are dumb, and I thought, no, after I talked to so many of them, I thought they're just not dumb, they're just having these little tricks to make their lives a bit easier, since we all, like, all Hong Kong people assume they're stupid. So it's like, who is the really stupid one here?
Exactly, they're the ones getting played, they're the ones getting getting shown what for.
A selfish, like, stereotype. So, and also I observed a lot of the interaction between Hong Kong people and domestic workers, and it's so common that, like, people in the shops, in the market, they just treat them really poorly. But at the opposite side, there are many that treat them very well. So I think I ought to present both sides. So you see, there is also one scene that Evelyn goes to another market, and this time the market lady is very welcoming.
Yes, and you handle it very even-handedly. It's not simply Evelyn being constantly deteriorated as a person. She also finds the good in people, and the people who are, you know, wanting to make that connection with her, and that's the arc of the story, really, the arc of the relationship. I do want to mention Anthony Wong, who plays the paralyzed man that Evelyn takes care of. The whole thing revolves around him softening and accepting her, and the little things that he starts to do that show his appreciation, such as the language barrier. You know, when they start out, he doesn't want to speak English. He doesn't know how to speak English. He knows a few key phrases. He can understand certain things, but he is very upset that Evelyn does not speak Cantonese. And over the course of the film, he begins to soften, and he begins to teach himself some English, and she begins to teach her a little Cantonese. So they meet, they make that beautiful cultural exchange that I think is one of the best parts of the film. I want to take the opportunity to bring in one of the stars of Still Human. She plays Evelyn Santos, the spectacular domestic worker that we get to see on screen. Her name is Krizel Consunhi. Welcome to the program.
Hi.
So tell me a little bit about how you got involved with this project.
Oh, it's a pretty long story. Here's the short version. Oliver sent out a casting call via Facebook, and it somehow landed on my inbox. And
there it is.
having had no experience in the film industry, I was very hesitant. But as a Filipino, and having met Oliver and realizing that she had a really genuine motivation to bring out a very balanced look on this issue, I felt very compelled to be part of the narrative and to be part of this this story, this claiming of the migrant worker story, which is very close to a lot of Filipinos' hearts.
Absolutely, absolutely, and I think you do an amazing job of it. And you know, growing up Filipina, you know, how often did you see people from your hometown, from your home country, go to different places across Asia to be domestic workers?
It's a phenomenon that that we all grew up with. I'm lucky enough that it's something that didn't affect me personally, but it's something that affects my country. And so it also sending our people abroad, not just for domestic work, but in all different kinds of employment, this whole diaspora, this migration of people from the Philippines, it hurts us. Not just, yes, it brings a lot of economic value to the country, and we are aware of that, but the very fabric of our social lives are changed, because our people are losing their mothers, their wives, in the case of many migrant women, and also fathers, also brothers, sisters, and it's a painful reality for Filipinos to be aware of.
Absolutely. And I think that's something that American audiences should absolutely be able to connect to. We have, you know, our own questions of migrant workers and seeing how much they add to our workforce and how important they are to our social fabric, really, in America. There's so many things that we take for granted that are done by migrant workers. And, you know, it's one of those things where sometimes growing up in America, you can have such a, you know, myopic view of how things are. But with a film like Still Human, we can see how this is a global phenomenon and maybe perhaps understand that phenomenon more. The struggle of the migrant worker is really the struggle of many countries across the globe. I want to ask, and correct me if I'm wrong, you possess a master's degree in political science. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Wow. That is so what, having that deeply academic background, when you came to this story, was there, what did you think of it politically speaking? I know it really is a human story at the end of the day, as many films are, but I feel that there's a great amount of political undertone to this about the way that the migrant worker functions in a society, and how they are and aren't accepted by the countries that they go to. So with your background in political science, what did you think of Still Human's story?
Yes, for sure. I agree that this is not just a movie that shows the empathy of our common shared humanity. I think there's a lot of socio-political implications that are being showcased in the film. I think my journey started maybe even almost 2 decades ago, being interested in migration and the development of identity and diasporic communities. We've already been studying that in the Philippines, as to not just the figures of what they were bringing in, but the cost of what this was doing to our country. Mm-hmm. And I think going to Hong Kong and moving there 11 years ago and interacting with these migrant workers helped me realize their own different stories, their own different struggles, and give a more humanistic perspective of the academic numbers that we were studying. And I think what Still Human does is it reaches the core of our shared values, so that we stop looking from, we start connecting with the characters and realizing their struggles, albeit in a bigger scale, affect our socio-political fabric, are actually very much relatable for every human being.
Absolutely. I do want to get into the main relationship of the film, and you two can, you know, answer at will. No specific it's not directed to either of you specifically, but
okay.
You know, it's one of the important things about this movie is getting involved in the characters individually, and I wanted to know a little bit about building these characters on screen and also building an on-screen relationship, because that's really what hooks people into this particular narrative. So maybe Krizel, you could talk about working with Anthony Wong and having that relationship on screen, and then for you, Oliver, how did you, as a first-time director, help those performances come out on camera?
Krizel first. Okay, yeah, I get asked this a lot about how was it to work with Anthony Wong, and I think he's a true professional. And he's really great to work with because he's brilliant on screen, on camera, and he's equally supportive of the people he's working with. I think the beauty of Oliver's work is that everything was in the script. All we had to do was stay real to the characters and listen to each other, and let that take us. Take the relationship where it should be on screen.
Mm-hmm. Well, for me, it's like, I think I did do a lot of research to keep the characters real. Mm-hmm. And then I did spend a lot of effort on the script writing process. So, and then we had these meetings that they read the scripts through, and I observe if they felt like they are the characters or not, or if there are parts that they felt is not natural, I just adjusted it. So I did a lot of preparation. And then on the set, it's really up to them to digest the thing and to perform that. And they both, actually all the actors, did very professionally. So it was like, it was never the director's role to teach them, but actually to just give them some directions when they kind of had a different interpretation, mm-hmm. Different to my direction. So I just give them some directions and then they would adjust. And it's really their talents that help the film go really live.
Yeah, and it lives on screen. It really does. There's a genuine connection between the two characters, and you know it you know, it's hard to put into words because it feels so natural. I feel like I'm really watching this happen in front of me. I'm watching this relationship develop, and obviously Anthony is not here with us, but Anthony Wong, he has a filmography going back into the mid 1980s. He's been at the game for a very long time, and you know, Krizel, I wanted to see, working with him, were there any sort of tips that you wanted to get from him, or just from professional to professional, how did you guys help each other along the process?
Oh, with regard to tips, I didn't really know who he was. That was good. At least I wasn't as intimidated as I probably would be
No.
if I had known his
his that famous
the depth
and
of his of his work. I think as actors we have we kind of have an unspoken rule that we always let the director lead and take control of leading us through the process. Mm-hmm. So I think what was helpful was the support that he was giving. He was very patient during the times when I was trying to figure out this whole medium. I'm used to stage, and now coming into film, there were times where I was a bit, I felt very, very slow. I felt like I was slowing people down. And he was very patient, and I think that's what I really value. I really value his support during this time.
Spectacular. Well, Still Human. It's going to be playing at the Gene Siskel Film Center tonight. Spectacular room. Love, 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 love the Gene Siskel. It's a great place to discover international cinema, independent cinema, and award-winning cinema like Still Human. I have to ask, when you guys just recently won some awards over in Hong Kong, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
And Italy as well.
Yeah, yes. Luckily.
Yes. So, how does it feel? This is your debut feature, Oliver. What's it like having an award-winning film on your hands?
I think I feel like still, like, dreaming.
still dreaming.
Yeah, we're still human, still dreaming. I think I really didn't expect that much of, like, echo in an awards across the world, actually. I made this film thinking it's like a love letter to Hong Kong that you know, actually the place that we shot is where I grew up, and I just felt like it's my first film. I just make something I really want to do, so I didn't even consider awards or like the box office when I was doing it. I was like, it's once in a life chance that I can do something so freely. I didn't have a investor to kind of point me at my nose telling me what to do. Mm-hmm. So we didn't think of any of those. I was just doing whatever I like. I was really self-centered.
Yeah, I think that's okay. I mean, it clearly paid off for you, because with a debut, yes, you don't.
Everything is bonus. Yeah.
Yes, yes. You know, this is your chance to make your first mark as a director, and to really hopefully have a very raw version of your vision for how you want to make films. And I think there's a lot of style here. There's a lot of things that make me very excited for any films that you do in the future. I hope there are many. Clearly, with all the awards, everybody wants to see more, Oliver.
I hope so. Well, that puts some pressure on me, but I'll have to work harder then.
Thanks for adding more pressure on that.
Well, before we go, one of the things I wanted to ask about is what you hope people, what you hope international audiences will take away from Still Human as a piece of Hong Kong cinema. I know for me, my first introduction to it was really action movies. My connection to Hong Kong cinema was the spectacular work of people like Jackie Chan, people like John Woo and Chow Yun-fat, and that was my introduction. Especially as a young boy, I liked things that go bang. And there was, you know, that came out in droves from Hong Kong. But obviously, it's a very complex place, culturally, politically, socially, all that stuff. What do you want, perhaps, American audiences to learn about Hong Kong by watching Still Human?
I just want them to see a different and true side of Hong Kong. Like, as you mentioned, a lot of other people just think of Hong Kong as in what we present in those action films or cop films. Like, there are like mostly only guys, and women are not really present. They're just waiting for the guys to rescue. And then there are always a lot of tall buildings that explode for no reason and stuff like that. But it's not the real Hong Kong. The real Hong Kong, we have people that are poor, people that are struggling, but people who are still really warm, and people that support each other. That we are a very international city. We have very diversified culture. And I want to really present those sides to other people, like the American audience.
All right. Well, I think Still Human is a great place to start for people. Again, Gene Siskel Film Center tonight. You can get your tickets over at GeneSiskelFilmCenter.com. I've heard that next you guys are going to San Francisco.
Yay.
Yeah. Oh, spectacular. It's a wonderful city. Just make sure you have a little bit of extra cash. Very expensive city. Very expensive. Not like Chicago.
Okay.
Maybe a server will take me out.
Yeah. Well, now that she's a big-time director, I think she's going to have to start spending like a big-time director. Isn't that right, Oliver?
No.
The public, yeah.
So I'm not making promises.
Again, the film is Still Human. It's directed by Oliver Chan and stars Griselle Kansoon-Hee. Thank you both so much for taking the time. I know you have a very busy schedule, and I hope you enjoyed joining me over Skype here.
Definitely, yes.
All right. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. This has been NoCo Cinema here on WGN Plus. We are your guide to cinema here in the city of Chicago, and we will see you all next time.